Greetings. Welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. And as I say every week, I'll say it again, that if you would ever desire a copy of anything that you hear on our program, the CDs are absolutely free. All you need to do is write to us. And whenever you write to us, make sure you include the date of the program that you desire. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I'll get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get to our study today, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we gather today around the radio. Lord, we gather today around your word. And Lord, we're going back to our study of the letters to the seven churches recorded in the book of Revelation. Today we pick up where we left off last week with the church of Philadelphia. And Lord, as we go through this, there's a lot of application for our lives. So Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would challenge us. Lord, that we would be different because of what we hear today, that it might draw us closer and nearer to you. And we'll thank you for what you accomplished, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. Great to be with you. Just a reminder also, if I could, that if you would be interested, a couple things. Number one, on Thursday nights here at the church, we are having a prophecy class. It starts at 6 o'clock in the evening on Thursday evening, runs till we do a 40-minute session and take a break and get some refreshments, and then we go back again. And so by 8 o'clock, usually we're finished up with that. Brother Dale Chamberlain is teaching that. So if you would like to be a part of that, that's free. All you need to do is come out on Thursday evenings. That started on the 16th of January, and it will go through probably through the month of March. And if you can't make it out and you would desire to listen to that study, you need to, you can go to our website. Those studies will be uploaded on our website, claysburgbiblechurch.com. They will be uploaded there, and you'll be able to listen to them in MP3 file if you desire that. Also, you could get a hold of us, and we could get you a copy of the CDs if you would desire that also. Okay, so today, we're back to the letters to the seven churches. This is part seven. And last week, we started into the church at Philadelphia. And I want to give you a little bit of a review because we're going to pick that back up where we stopped last week. We looked at the history of the city, and we found out that it was a city that was full of idolatry. Let me give you a quote by Barclay, and he says this, and I quote, "Philadelphia had so many gods and so many temples that sometimes men called it Little Athens. To walk through its temple-scattered streets was to be reminded of Athens, the center of worship of the Olympian gods," unquote. So it would be a very, very dark city because of that. It was also a very prosperous city. The city controlled one of the major highways of the world in its day. It was a highway that led from Europe to the east, and it was a gateway city that went from one continent to another. It was in the middle of this spiritual dark crossroads, and that's what it would have been, that God planted this church. It was in a very strategic location. It was the smallest of all the churches. It's the only church that is never given a rebuke from the Lord. No rebuke, none whatsoever. The other churches have some condemnation given to them. This church has none. It has commendation for this church. So we looked at the greeting, 3:7. It says this, Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. It says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, and he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." Jesus identifies himself in this verse in four ways. In this very greeting, four ways he identifies himself. Neither of the ways of identification is taken from the vision of chapter 1, but instead they're taken from the Old Testament. Many believe the reason for this was because of the Jewish influence within the church. He says, number one, he identifies himself as he that is holy. That refers to this separation, his sinlessness, the fact that he is set apart. Number two, he identifies himself as he that is true. Jesus spoke nothing but the truth, and when he spoke to this church, he had nothing negative to say. Number three, he that hath the keys of David. This statement was taken from Isaiah 22, 20 through 22, and the keys of David were the keys of the treasure house, and we talked about that last week. Number four, he that opens and no man shuts, and he that shuts and no man opens. This speaks of the sovereignty of our Lord. And all of this brings us to where we are in our study of Revelation today. It is God who sets before us open doors of opportunity, and it is God who closes doors that are before us. Let us look at the open door. Watch 3:8 now, if you would. It says, I know thy works. A statement, kind of a heading to this verse. He says, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. The verse contains a tremendous amount of truth. Number one, Jesus knew their works. The works are described at the end of the verse. First of all, A under that is, they had kept his word. This means that they had walked in obedience to the word of God. They had, and B, they had not denied his name. This tells me that the believers who were in his church were under persecution. They were being pressured to deny the name of Jesus Christ, but they refused to bow to the pressure. Let me make an application with these two points. We need to understand that when we take a stand for Jesus Christ, there are going to be people who oppose our stand. On Sunday nights here at our church, we've been looking at the life of Moses, been in a study of his life. And I want to go back and I want to just read something for you about what took place in the life of Moses. In Hebrews 11, 24 and 25, we read this. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses chose to live for the cause of the Messiah, the cause of Jesus Christ. And when he did, he entered into a life of affliction. He had a very easy life in the palace. He was believed to be the next in line for the position of Pharaoh. He had the world at his fingertips, but he saw something more valuable than all the wealth of Egypt. Hebrews 11:26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses believed that suffering for the cause of Jesus Christ was far more valuable than anything which Egypt could ever offer. Therefore, he entered into a life of affliction when he decides to follow God and stand for his promises and for his word. The church at Philadelphia had taken a stand for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and so they too were facing persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. They shall. You and I will too. We live in a world that is full of depravity, in a world that is under the influence of demonic forces and satanic forces. And so you better believe that whenever we take a stand for Jesus Christ, that there's going to be pressure. There's going to be affliction. There's going to be persecution. It's going to come one way or another. It's going to come. When Jesus was on the earth, he was persecuted. He was afflicted. we are now his body. He has ascended to heaven. He's ascended to the right hand of the Father. So we are his body now. So the affliction and the persecution that came upon him is now focused upon you and I. And so whenever we live godly, when we live separated lives, it is going to cause others to dislike our stand, because our stand will convict them of the sin that is within their lives. Let me show you where the persecution came from. Watch verse 8 again. He said, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. And thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. They had a little strength. Let me tell you what that means. It doesn't mean that they were without spiritual strength. I believe it's a reference to how few believers there were within the church. They had few believers, but the believers that were there in Philadelphia were deep spiritual believers. They had been taught the word, and they were walking in obedience to the word. They stood for the word of God. Let me make an application here. Just for a moment, I want to remind you that the greatest need within the church today is for deeper Christians. We do not need more programs. We don't need more committees. We don't need more activities so as to keep people entertained. We need churches where the entire counsel of God is taught, so that the Christians will grow in their relationship with the Lord, and they will be equipped for the spiritual battle. That's what's needed. Not entertainment. Not more committees. Not more things for people to do. That's not what's needed. What's needed is the truth of God's word. The entire counsel of God taught is what is needed. Ephesians 4:11 through 15. The Apostle Paul says this, and he gave some, Jesus gave some churches, apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What for? Listen to the next verse. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He gave gifted men to the church to teach the word of God, for the perfecting of the saints, so that they would be equipped for the work of the ministry, so that ultimately that the body of Christ would be edified. Verse 13, how long is that supposed to go on? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, it's to go on as long as the church is here on the earth. That's the blueprint for the church. That's the blueprint. It's not about programs. It's not about entertainment. It's not what it's about. The church is a barracks. It is a barracks where soldiers are taught discipline and self-control and equipping them for the battle that exists outside the walls of the building. Verse 14 of Ephesians 4 says, here comes the reason that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But, verse 15, speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. So, listen, God gives gifted people to the church so that the church can be strengthened. The church can be edified as they learn the word of God. 2 Timothy 4:1-2 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Teach the word, Paul said to Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:16. In 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So listen, we don't need committees, we don't need programs, we don't need entertainment, we need the word of God taught to the people of God so that they will be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what's needed. That's the blueprint. That's the purpose of the church, to teach the word of God, the entire counsel of God. Watch 3:8 again of Revelation. John says, I know thy work. Jesus says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. God had set before them an open door. What was that open door? What would it have been? I think without a doubt, the open door was evangelism. The city was positioned at the crossroads of the world. And so this little church had this great opportunity to reach many people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as the believers went out into the city, they were reminded that they had been entrusted with an opportunity to reach the lost with the gospel. Now, I want to point out something here that is very significant, and that's the order of the verse, because the order of the verse is so very important. Jesus told them he knew their works. Then he tells them that he had set before them an open door. This open door was before them, was entrusted to them. Now listen to this. Because they had proved themselves faithful in walking in obedience to the word. That's how the open door came about. They had proved themselves to be obedient and faithful. And so they get this open door. The small group of believers, they were willing and they were faithful. So the result was opportunity before them. Here's the application. We often desire God to open doors in our lives. We long to see the power of his hand as we face the different situations in our lives. But we need to understand that God will not place before us open doors until we prove our faithfulness that he's already entrusted to us. That we prove to be faithful in the things that are already entrusted to us. God waits for you and I to show that we're committed and devoted to him, and then he will begin to move. Let me give you an example of that. In Joshua 3, there's a wonderful picture of this. Israel's under the leadership of Joshua, and they have come to the edge. They've come to the edge of the Jordan River. And the river's at flood stage. It's miles wide. God tells them he will stop the water and he will dry up the mud so that they can cross. But there's one thing that they had to do. Joshua 3, 13 through 17. Listen to it. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all its banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap, very far from the city, Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now listen to me. The leaders of Israel had to step off the river bank into the water before God would stop the waters. In other words, they had to take a great step of faith and show that they were committed to following God. This is exactly what God desires to see within our lives. He wants us to walk by faith in his word, and he wants to see that we are committed to following him, and then he will begin to open doors which we never thought were possible to open. Listen, let me put that into your life for a second. Let me put it into your life. Maybe there is somebody in your life, a loved one, a friend, an acquaintance of some sort, that you desire to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that opportunity just never seems to come. The conversation doesn't seem to get turned around there, and maybe they just, when it seems like it's going that way, then they cut it off and they kind of go off on something else. And so you just long to see an opportunity. You just want to be able to sit down and talk with them about Jesus Christ and their need of salvation. But you can't seem to get that open door. Let me ask you a question. Are you being faithful in the little things, if I could put it that way? Are you being faithful right now to the Word of God? Are you being true to the Word of God? Are you standing for Jesus Christ in all other areas of your life? Maybe there's something in your life that needs to be adjusted. Maybe that's why that open door is not there. Listen to verse 8 again. I know thy works. Listen. Jesus says, I know your works. I know what you're doing. So because of your faithfulness, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Thou hast little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. They're walking in obedience. They refuse under the pressure to deny the name of Jesus Christ. They're few in number, but now there's an open door in front of them. Maybe the open door that you're looking for in your life is not there because of something else that you're not doing in your life. Maybe there's an area that you're not faithful in, and for that reason, that door has not been opened. You need to examine your own life. Watch now the opposition. Watch verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Here was the opposition which came against the church of Philadelphia. There were Jews who claimed to be believers but were not. These people claimed to be Jews, but they weren't true Jews, because true Jews were ones that put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. These people had not trusted in Christ, so they plagued the church with Judaism. They were legalists, is what they were. They tried to marry the law together with grace, which is legalism. That's exactly what they were trying to do. They were a thorn in the flesh of the church. But it's important for us to know that Jesus never promised to remove them. He never promised to remove the thorn. He never promised. Let me read a verse again. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. There was coming a day whenever they would understand who it was that they were persecuting, but he never said that he would remove them. The message here for us is important for us to grasp. Jesus said these people who were opposing the church were of the synagogue of Satan. It's a reminder that the church was engaged in a spiritual battle. When Jesus says he will make them worship at the feet of the believers, it does not mean that the opposition will worship the church, but it means that there would be a day when these people would bow the knee to Jesus Christ. They would see those whom they attacked and realize that they were wrong in their analysis. Philippians 2:10-11 says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things in under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Let me get you back to the church, the message to the church at Philadelphia. Jesus was telling them that they were in a spiritual battle, and they were to patiently persevere. He would deal with the opposition in his time. This is the message for you and me today as we step out and serve the Lord. There will be opposition, as we looked at earlier. People will rise up against us, but we must keep in mind every battle we face is a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6:10-12 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a spiritual battle, is what it is. This is so important to understand, because Satan will use whoever he can in our lives to distract us, to oppose us, or to somehow hinder us. But our battle is not with those individuals. It's a spiritual battle, and Satan is behind the scenes using these people in an attempt to stop us. and attempt to stop us. Let me, as I get down towards the end today, let me give you something, because you may be in one of those spiritual battles right now. Let me read a passage for you about how to handle that. Romans 12, 17 through 21. Paul wrote, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Don't be consumed with those individuals that rise up against you. Don't be consumed with that. I've seen that happen before. So focused on them and get consumed with that situation and trying to figure out how you're gonna handle this situation. Listen, Paul says, the Lord says, overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. So listen, back to this whole message. God wants to put before us open doors, but in order to see the open doors, we got to walk in obedience. And whenever we walk in obedience, there's going to be opposition, there's going to be persecution, there's going to be difficulties. People are going to rise up against us to try to stop us. We got to let them to the Lord. Our responsibility is to remain faithful to our God, to be faithful to His Word and to the name of Jesus Christ. And when the doors open, we need to be faithful to step through them. I'm out of time today. I want to thank you for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. Again, if you would ever desire to hear any of these or have a copy of any of these programs on CD, the CDs are absolutely free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write, make sure you include the date of the program you desire. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio, we see you in church next week. Might you have a blessed day.